Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Well, again, everyone, welcome. So tonight's talk is called The Great Zen Master, Animals. In Buddhism, you'll come across animals in various texts, stories, as symbols, and a number of koans. From Buddhist perspective, all animals are considered sentient beings with Buddha nature, same potential for enlightenment as humans. As a result, they should be treated with compassion and respect, following the principle of non-harm. While the first precept, non-killing, is often interpreted strictly for humans, it broadly extends to all sentient beings. Animals teach us profound spiritual and philosophical lessons, like living fully in the moment, unconditional love, natural joy, letting go of past hurts, and the wisdom of rest. These are just a few qualities. Through their honest communication and mindful presence, they encourage us to be more patient, compassionate, and to find peace by letting go of overthinking and focusing on the here and now. Confronting the suffering of animals enables us to develop renunciation, compassion, and bodhicitta, so that we are ever more strongly motivated to train in all the Buddhist practices that will lead to lasting mental freedom for our sake and the sake of others. And I find this an encouraging perspective. Without it, focusing on the seemingly never-ending suffering of dogs and cats and other animals feels sad and hopeless, as there is nothing that we can do to bring an end to it all. And I'm even complicit in my morning jog, when I do my jog and I know I'm stepping on a number of ants. But my intention isn't to do that. In some ways, I understand why many people turn a blind eye to the tremendous suffering of animals. They consciously or unconsciously don't want to open the floodgate of grief from having to think about how awful it is without having a solution. But according to the Buddha, we have to, and the sooner, the better. The truth of suffering is the first of the four noble truths, that, taken with the other three, will lead to freedom from suffering. Bodhisattvas are committed to doing two things, train their minds and to help others. As I mentioned, animals have always been regarded in Buddhist thought as sentient beings. Furthermore, dogs, cats, and other animals possess Buddha nature, according to the Mahayana. Historically, some Buddhist traditions recognize the animal realm as a result of past negative karma, placing animals in a lower realm of rebirth. But this has not diminished the fundamental teaching of universal compassion and the idea that all animals are interconnected with humans through past lives. The Buddha expounded that all sentient beings currently living in the animal realm have been our mothers, brothers, sisters, fathers, children, friends in past rebirths. One could not, therefore, make a hard distinction between moral rules applicable to animals and those applicable to humans. According to the Buddha, we are all interconnected in space and time. Dogs, cats, and other animals teach us valuable life lessons, such as patience, empathy, loyalty, unconditional love, how to live in the moment, find joy in simple things, forgive others, and remain positive even in difficult times. Caring for a pet also instills a sense of responsibility and creates a grounding, purposeful routine that promotes well-being. Here are some of the key life lessons pets can teach us. And the first five are from a PBS piece from years ago, geared towards parents, called The Lessons We Learn from Pets. And even though this article is geared towards kids, it applies to adults as well. And here's the introduction. My first grade classroom has been host to an elderly leopard gecko named Spotty for many years. He spends his days being held by fidgety little kids, crawling on laps, sleeping a lot, and on a few occasions, biting small fingers. He's still agile enough to hunt, and the cockroaches he catches and devours remain a major attraction in the classroom. At home, I have another pet, my 9-year-old dog, Wynette, who lost one of her legs in a car accident when she was a puppy. Wynette is often viewed as disabled, but the truth is she doesn't seem to care or notice. She can run, jump, and play with no issues. The main thing she can't do is scratch her right ear, so my kids help her out when she's frantically rubbing her head against the floor. Animals can do so much, and they can serve as teachers to both children and adults. Our pets teach us valuable lessons, and here are just a few. Patience. Training and understanding a pet's needs requires persistence, teaching us to take our time and not force things. Animals take their time and can't always be forced to do things quickly. Spotty, the gecko, crawls around at his own pace, so kids have to remember he's in no hurry to move. Wynette, the three-legged dog, is the same way. She takes her time on walks now and can't be rushed. She's going to stop and smell something or just sit down for a while. In a society where everything swirls by quickly, reminders to slow down and take our time can be incredibly useful. As a parent, I have so often tried and failed to rush an activity, cleaning up, eating dinner, bath time, that really should have been slowed down and enjoyed. And this requires patience. Empathy. Interacting with pets helps us develop a greater capacity for compassion and kindness towards others. Animals are wonderful at helping kids develop empathy. Kids can easily imagine what it would be like to be a dog or a cat. They begin to understand true empathy, which means they learn to recognize and honor the feelings of another being. Empathy can be seen in the aging process. Growing old isn't easy, and it may be shocking to children and adults when a pet starts showing signs of old age. With animals, the process is sped up and kids begin to see what aging really is. It's natural, beautiful, complex, and painful all at once. Kids can learn valuable lessons about it and what it means to grow older inside your own body, and what it means to show empathy for our loved ones when our pets share these experiences with us. So I'd like to share a small piece, not part of this PBS piece, regarding empathy by a veterinarian from the magazine Psychology Today. Late one November evening in my fourth year out of veterinary school, while tending to the first wave of patients who had flocked to our clinic for emergency care, a single dog in an unconscious haze forever changed the course of my career. Pongo, a two-year-old retriever struck by a speeding pickup truck, lay before me on a blanket. He was no better for all that modern medicine and my training had offered him. His vital signs ebbed fatefully weaker than when he arrived several hours before. Worn out from the onslaught of all the night's cases, I surrendered to a wave of frustration and sank exhausted to the floor, with little else left to offer Pongo, except for my arm draped across his chest, soft words spoken, and a gentle touch. Yet, from the simple act of caring, in less than an hour, I watched him slowly recover in body and in spirit. For the past 20 years since that night with Pongo, I've spent most of my working hours studying animals and the profound connections we share with them. Empathy goes a long way. Next is unconditional love and acceptance. Pets offer love without judgment. They don't have an agenda, showing us how to accept others and ourselves for who we are. Both Spotty and Wynette are gentle, sweet, and kind. They treat little kids with care, extra care, knowing that the kids will need more room to make mistakes. When children see kindness in action, they're more likely to repeat it than if they're simply told to be nice. Pets often treat kids with such kindness while playing and being affectionate that kids consider them best friends and family members. Unconditional love and acceptance. Forgiveness. Pets offer quick forgiveness after an upset, teaching us the importance of letting go of grudges, letting go of attachments to past hurts. Spotty sheds his skin once a month, and he's usually crabby during that time. Once, while he was particularly irritable, he bit a six-year-old child, drawing blood and heavy tears. It was a tough moment, but a few weeks later, with Spotty in brighter spirits, the same child held Spotty gently in her hands and whispered, "I forgive you," into his little ears. She told me later that she knew Spotty had forgiven her too, for holding him when he wasn't feeling well. Mutual forgiveness is hard to teach, but a gecko made it plain to understand. Forgiveness. Resilience. Animals can bounce back from challenges, showing us the strength and perseverance in getting back up after a setback. And this is one of the three pillars of our practice: great determination or perseverance. You know, the other two being faith and doubt. Some time ago, a cat attacked Spotty while he was at home with a student, and the gecko lost his tail. We were worried he wouldn't make it. But he healed, grew a new tail, and regained his strength, to the amazement and delight of the kids. Wynette had lost a limb too, but she resumed her dog activities as quickly as she could. These situations help remind us that if major losses like these can be overcome, then smaller obstacles might not seem as difficult. We don't want to erase grief and pain, but we can learn that life does go on through our pet's refusal to give up. Once, a city bus driver pulled over to ask me about Wynette's missing leg. The passenger's eyes eyed us warily, wondering why the bus had stopped. We chatted briefly, and the driver asked if she could see Wynette run. Three-legged dog, right? We took off down the sidewalk, and the passengers cheered as the bus drove by and honked its horn. It was a reminder that people are moved by resilience. Sometimes our best teachers are the four or three-legged creatures among us. Resilience. And again, these lessons were from a PBS piece called Lessons We Learn from Pets. And here are some other lessons that I would like to highlight as well. Loyalty. The unwavering loyalty of a pet serves as a reminder to be dependable and supportive in our own relationships. Pets greet us when we come home. Dogs protect us from the mailman and the Amazon delivery person, whether we've asked them to or not. And they show us great affection. The loyalty they display reminds us of the ways in which we can be loyal and loving to the people in our own lives. Loyalty isn't a topic we discuss much, even though it's a crucial component in a relationship. We often focus on honesty, openness, and love when discussing relationships, all good things. But we less frequently expound upon the importance of being loyal to one another by being supportive of one another's decisions, showing up when someone's in need, and protecting the parts of each other's lives that should be kept confidential. Pets remind us of how it feels to be on the receiving end of someone's loyalty, encouraging us to treat our family and friends in the same way. Loyalty. Living in the moment. Pets are often fully present, reminding us to focus on the now rather than dwelling on the past or worrying about the future. Animals practiced mindfulness long before it became popular with humans. Though animals certainly experience fear and trepidation at times, any anxiety is based on the circumstances in the current moment. They rarely think or worry about the future. While not preparing for the future is not as practical for people, living in the moment is certainly a vital practice. Worrying about the future is not productive and undermines the importance of the present moment. One of my favorite quotes on living in the moment is by Mark Twain. And this is what he said. I have been through some terrible, terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. We should be like our pets and enjoy the moment. We can deal with tomorrow, tomorrow. Living in the moment. Finding joy in simple things. A pet's happiness over a small treat or walk can inspire us to appreciate life's simple pleasures. Pets remind us of the value of being grateful for all that we have. This life lesson goes hand in hand with the concept of contentment. First, we learn to be content with what we have, and then we learn to express gratitude for those things. Pets are thankful for the simplest little things in life, and most are able to express their gratitude in specific ways, whether they come in the form of drooling kisses, wagging tails, or a cat nibbling on your arm. I often reflect on the way my two dogs run in excitement around our kitchen when they realize they are about to go on a walk. It makes me reflect on if I approach the little things in my life with that much enthusiasm and gratitude. These simple behaviors remind us that there's something that we can be thankful for every single day, finding joy in simple things. If you have a pet or take care of animals in any capacity, you know that the next life lesson is a difficult one, and that is impermanence. In most cases, to love a pet is to know that you will outlive that pet. Our first experiences with death probably came during childhood and the death of a family pet. To live with a pet is to observe the cycle of aging and dying. Our dogs, cats, birds, fish, reptiles are not just friends, but family members. This past weekend, my wife and I got together with other family members and some neighbors. Some brought their dogs along to the picnic. The topic of pets came up a few times. At one point during our conversation, a neighbor boldly stated, "I never want to have another dog again. It's too hard." You get to know them, you learn to love them, and then they die. "I don't think I can say goodbye to one more dog." I've heard this statement by dog and cat people over the years, including my mother and sister-in-law. And I understand where they are coming from, having pets myself since childhood. I've been part of that process of loving them, watching them age and die. Also, I have witnessed the sudden death of my dog during childhood that got run over by a car, and as an adult, a pet dog that drowned in a pool. When you have a pet, you learn to navigate the joyful times and the sad times. Having pets and watching them age and pass on, I find myself reminded of something that Achan Cha, the great Theravadan meditation master, once said about a broken glass. It's one of those sayings that sometimes catch us and perhaps can mark our consciousness forevermore. If you've ever seen images of Achan Cha, he's always smiling. He's long gone now, but images, he's always smiling. One day, some of the master's disciples came to him and asked, "How can you be so happy in a world of impermanence, where you cannot protect your loved ones from harm, illness, and death?" The master held up a glass and said, "Someone gave me this glass. I really like it. It holds my water admirably, and it glistens in the sun. I touch it, and it rings. One day the wind may blow it off the shelf, or my elbow may knock it from the table. I know this glass is already broken, so I enjoy it incredibly today." I think this is a good teaching with regards to having pets and working with animals. Enjoy them today. And it's also a good teaching on enjoying life today, for all of us. Responsibility. Caring for a pet's daily needs provides a tangible sense of duty and commitment. As any pet owner knows, taking care of our animal friends is a lot of work. It's worthwhile work, certainly, but it's work nonetheless. Scheduling vet appointments, tracking medications, keeping living spaces clean, and taking pets out for bathroom breaks are consuming tasks that help teach us to become more responsible with our time and our resources, not to mention the ever-growing financial responsibility of taking care of a pet. And for us dog owners, taking Spot out for a bathroom walk in the pouring rain or during a snowstorm is a real teaching and responsibility. Pet owners learn to better prepare for emergencies should they arise, and they prepare their schedules in such a way to be the best parents to their furry, feathery, or scaly friends. Responsibility. And lastly, positivity and playfulness. The enthusiastic greetings and playful nature of animals can lift spirits and encourage us to maintain a more positive outlook. In the transition from childhood to adulthood, I think we lose our sense of fun. The pressure to succeed starts to take precedence, and the fun part of childhood, teens, and early 20s starts to fade into the background with time. We start living the all work, no play lifestyle. And for some people, life starts to become boring. Animals, on the other hand, find enjoyment from jumping into wildflowers, splashing in puddles, chasing their tails, fetching sticks, and essentially doing things that seem nonsensical to us adults. In a way, dogs, cats, and other animals know how to get joy out of life. They know how to grab their happiness. They teach us that no one is too old for play. Playfulness. In summary, from a Buddhist perspective, animals teach profound spiritual and life lessons, like living fully in the moment, unconditional love, natural joy, letting go of past hurts, responsibility, and the wisdom of rest, just to name a few qualities. Through their honest communication and mindful presence, they encourage us to be more patient, compassionate, and to find peace of letting go of overthinking and focusing on the here and now. And probably most important, and to have fun while you can.